evil one who will use any problem we encounter within our relationships to cause disruption. And it is absolutely right that as a church community, we should love, support, and minister to each other. But, and there's always a but, isn't there? Jesus asks us to go one step further than that. We're to look outwards of our little bubble here, to go and make disciples of all nations, and to widen the circle of fellowship to others. So this week we're going to be looking at relationships with our community and how we can reach the people around us. Back in my school days, a long time ago, I studied Latin. Now, in truth, it's not been of much use to me, except for quiz nights, occasionally. But it has given me an interest in language and how words are constructed. So I confess I'm a bit of an anorak, but bear with me for a moment because I am going somewhere with this. If we look at the word community, its prefix is com, C-O-M, which is derived from the Latin cum, meaning with, together, alongside. So already we have a sense that community isn't something that we do in isolation. It happens jointly with others. And we're not Christians in isolation. We need to be with others. And the word community is derived from the Latin communitas, meaning community, but it has its roots in the word communis, meaning common, public, shared by all or many. So we have com, meaning together, and the word munis, which has its roots in another verb, concerning performing services, as in our word municipal. The Oxford English Dictionary says that the noun communitatem was merely a noun of quality, meaning fellowship, a community of relations or feelings. But in medieval Latin, it came to be used for a society, a division of people. So, apologies for being boring, but now we have a real sense that community is something that is a shared state. And I really like that implied sense of serving too, because that really is the crux of what we're called to do in God's name. So what does community mean for us? Quite simply, we exist as part of many circles or groups, some of which overlap. We belong to our families. We're part of a church group here at Glen Eagles. And we have a responsibility here in this parish, which is a part of the Wellingborough Deanery, which is in turn a part of the Peterborough Diocese, which belongs to the Anglican Church, both here and worldwide. Our neighbourhoods are a community of which we're a part. And in turn, all of those neighbourhoods make up our towns, which make up counties, which make up our country. And all of the countries and nations make up this great big amazing world which God's given us to live in. We have our workplace communities, or school, college, or university communities. We might belong to clubs or societies where people who have a shared interest or activity gather together. So we can see that a community is wherever we are. And whatever we do as a member of a community. Now, for us as Christians, the most important community we belong to is that of God's family. And Jesus gives us clear instruction in our reading from Matthew today to keep on widening and growing that community by making disciples, baptizing, and teaching his word. The big question is, how do we bring Christ to the communities in which we move when he seems less and less welcome? Well, firstly, what is this church doing within its parish and this town that is outward looking and responding to Jesus' great commission to spread the gospel? Well, quite a lot, actually. Here's a quick rundown, and please forgive me if I've missed anything or anyone. The most obvious is that we're seeking to build a brand new church for this town, which will be a multi-purpose space for the community to use. The Hope into Action project is bearing fruit with the purchase of a house to help a homeless family get a great new start. Why do we do this? Because God is the giver of second chances and new beginnings. We have an excellent men's and women's ministry here with great events and activities which seek to build friendships and reach out to those who are on the fringes of the church. They're a useful approach because as a church, we invite those we know who don't come to church or who are new to the church to join in with our fellowship. Our youth ministry is very outward looking, not only with our Sunday morning groups, but many other ministries which reach out to those in the community who don't come to church. Wellitots and the Holiday Wow Clubs provide much needed help and support for families. Ignite reaches out to school aged children. Then there's all of the work that Ali and her team do here in the school. And the youth groups and activities led by the fantastic teams of dedicated folks, Steve and Alex, Mike and Lynette. We also address specific vital needs for ministry and support with the friendship groups, the mutual support group, which helps those who've suffered a bereavement, the Death Cafe, which tackles those thorny and difficult questions that aren't often spoken about. We're seeking to extend a welcome to some of our community's most vulnerable people by studying the Lifting the Lid course on mental health issues. We're also making the church's presence felt in the parish by activities like the carol singing and the goodie bag giveaway that we did last Christmas. The offering of prayer ministry when we went knocking on doors as part of the Thy Kingdom Come week. For a lot of our events, we use the Vicarage Farm Social Club, which is great because it's a focal point for the community. We're building relationships and friendships by attending their events, such as the monthly quiz night. It might seem like it's not so important, but it's good for people who don't come to church to see that we Christians don't actually have two heads. We have a sense of humour and we actually enjoy ourselves. Anyone who's friends with me on Facebook will see that I regularly post a meme which reads, "Sometimes the best evangelism is simply to tell people you're a Christian and then not be a complete jerk." It's all about dispelling those preconceptions that people might have about us. No one likes holier than thou. We're all sinners, but God loves us all equally, and that's what we need to be showing people. Looking slightly beyond the parish, some of us are involved in voluntary work in the town, such as helping out at the Daylight Centre, helping with the street pastors, hospital and care home visiting. Even further afield, our own Bob is in Bangladesh right now doing mission work. Some of us sponsor children in far-off countries through Compassion UK and other organisations. And some of us will be sending shoeboxes full of gifts to children all over the world. This list isn't exhaustive by any means, but it shows some of what Glen Eagles Church is doing in the parish community, the town community, and the global community. But of course, we can do more, because God's got more. Yeah. Sorry, Melvin, I've pinched your line there. Yes, God's got more, yes? Thank you. So what is our responsibility as God's people? Well, we've seen from the very end of Matthew's gospel that the last thing that Jesus does before he ascends into heaven is to tell his followers to go out into the world, make disciples, spread his teachings, and baptize new followers. This springs right from the heart of God. Way back in Genesis, God sends Abram out, telling him that he will be a blessing. And in chapter 12, verse 3 of Genesis, God says, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Whose job is it to spread this blessing? Well, it's all of ours. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians in chapter 3, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are heirs, not just to the promise, but also to the work of God. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, we take on his mantle. We become his hands and voice in the world, so that God's blessing may reach all of his children. We are the body of Christ. And as we hear in the first letter to the Corinthians, we all have a role to play in the body. Whether we doubt, whether we feel weak, whether we may feel useless and we have nothing to offer, we all have a role. And whatever that role may be, it is valued and celebrated equally. In verse 18 of the chapter from Corinthians that we read today, it reads, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." And we have all those different gifts. How do we fulfill the task that Jesus has given us in our communities? The important thing seems to be to ask, what gifts has God given to me? It'll be different for all of us. Paul tells us that God has appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, healers, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those who speak in tongues. And this is echoed again in the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, when Paul writes, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now that seems like a pretty broad range of job descriptions to me. Some roles are obviously more specialised, like prophesying or teaching, but we can all be encouraging, giving, not just of our time, but our friendship, our compassion, not just in material or monetary ways, and we can show kindness. A good way to start is by praying and asking God to show you how he wants you to use your unique gifts to serve him through his people. Again, more advice from Paul. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 reads, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." And we may sometimes think that we don't have much to give, but in my almost 50 years on this planet, I've come to the conclusion that the most precious thing we have to give is our time. We can come alongside the people we meet, and we meet them where they are, just as Jesus and the disciples did. The Gospels don't tell us that they stayed in one place or one church building to minister to people. They got out amongst them. We can listen. And when we listen, we can identify needs within our communities and begin to act on them. And we can pray. Pray for God to give us ears to hear and eyes to see the need in his people. pray for wisdom and opportunities and the courage to speak his truth. Pray for our communities, for the issues that they face, and for their people, that we can help them come back to God. And prayer is the bedrock of all that we do. Never think, oh, it's just praying, because that is where we start. In our various circles and communities outside of church, we can be a force for God. Archbishop John Sentamu famously said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." If we want to see Jesus welcomed in our communities, neighbourhoods and workplaces, then first we must not be afraid to show others that he is the reason for our hope and joy. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Our faith can be the stone that breaks the surface of the pond water of secularism and sends ripples outwards. We're in the world, but not of it. We don't have to follow the crowd. We can lead by example, by, say, not getting involved in gossip, keeping confidences, being the one to ask, "How are you?" Showing compassion for others. There's that word "com" again at the beginning of compassion. When we show compassion, we come alongside others. And it's a two-way process. We ask the question, "How are you?" And we listen. We take in the information. And then we can respond. And really listen with empathy, going the extra mile, offering hope and encouragement, and being the salt and light. All because of this guy Jesus, who changes everything and makes all things new. Because he loves us and was willing to die for us on that cross. Again from 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 reads, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Perhaps we can ask God to show us, if we're not already doing so, can we get involved in voluntary organisations locally? Is there something going on in church that we can help with? We have jobs that need doing, the setup team, youth groups on Sunday mornings, and our social team needs helpers. Maybe ask God if he's calling you to help here or elsewhere. It's been proven time and time again that one of the best ways to be introduced to a church community is to be invited along. When you're chatting with friends, work colleagues, or neighbours, ask God to show you an opportunity to ask them along. They might just be waiting for that invitation. A good introduction may be to come to a special service, perhaps Christmas time. We have a service for the centenary of Armistice Day, this Remembrance Sunday. Perhaps there's someone you know who served in the forces, or relatives of someone who served, who'd like to attend. Again, ask God to show you who might like to be asked along and to speak into their hearts that they might heed his call. We may deliver the message, but it's God's call. Paul gives us so much good advice in all of his letters. So I'm going to leave you with some more of his advice from Romans chapter 12, where Paul tells us in a nutshell what we must do. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Let us make this our mission and our prayer. Amen.
Mary's going to come and lead us in prayer now.